Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and joining me as always is Mike.
Hey everyone, great to be here.
Today is episode 491, and we are covering the top trending stories from yesterday, August 17th, 2026. We have a really fascinating lineup today, and honestly, Mike, there is a massive theme running through almost all of these stories.
There really is. AI is everywhere today. But maybe not in the utopian way we were promised a couple of years ago. We are looking at a new term called AI didn't read, a major GitHub outage that might be tied to AI traffic, and a wild story where an AI coding assistant actually introduced a critical vulnerability into Snowflake systems.
Plus, we'll take a break from AI to talk about the highly anticipated DuckDB version 2.0 and a Yale study on universal health coverage that sparked a massive economic debate on the forums.
Sounds like a packed show. Where should we start?
Let us kick things off with a post from Rick Manelius's newsletter that blew up on Hacker News. It introduces a new acronym, AIDR, which stands for AI Didn't Read.
I absolutely love this. It is the modern evolution of Too Long Didn't Read. The premise is simple. If you cannot be bothered to review and edit the wall of text your AI just generated, I'm not going to bother reading it.
Exactly. Rick mentions getting to the point where he physically flinches when a colleague sends an unfiltered, unedited Claude output in Slack. And the Hacker News comments really validated this feeling. It is not just about emails or newsletters, it's infiltrating our code bases.
Yeah, one commenter painted a pretty bleak picture. They said their coworkers are dumping hundreds of lines of AI-generated documentation into every pull request. Every other line of code has these long-winded AI comments explaining things using weird jargon. They called it a post-readability code base.
Post-readability. That is such a chilling phrase for a developer to hear. Another user mentioned how they asked Claude to remove a piece of code, and the resulting diff is mostly green because the AI added a massive comment explaining why the code it just removed is no longer there. Code that never even existed in the main branch to begin with.
Right. It's writing comments as if the audience is the person in the current chat session, rather than a future developer reading the source code. One commenter pointed out that they actually try to give Claude specific rules. They tell it to only include relevant, evergreen comments, never reiterate what is in the code, and never mention decisions that were not made. But they said it is to no avail. The comments just grow and grow, creating a massive maintenance burden.
And it creates context poisoning for the AI later on. Every code base becomes a graveyard of references to ideas or behaviors that were barely considered. Someone even mentioned that the AI likes to spew references to internal documents that do not even exist in the repository.
And when people try to bring this up at work, it gets complicated. One commenter pointed out that if management mandates AI usage to boost some productivity metric, pushing back makes you look like the bad guy. You are fighting the ocean. The social and political factors make it really hard to just say, hey, these AI comments are actually making our jobs harder.
It really is a cultural shift. Someone else noted that we are just going to have to learn how to run these massive AI pull request descriptions back through an AI to summarize them down to a concise format. We are just having machines talking to machines at this point.
Speaking of machines talking to machines, that brings us perfectly to our next story. Yesterday, GitHub had a pretty significant incident. High error rates, around 20% for web and API traffic, and 50% for archive downloads. Copilot was degraded, authentication was failing, it was a mess.
Outages happened, but what made this interesting was the discussion on Hacker News about why GitHub might be struggling lately. A lot of users are speculating that GitHub is just getting absolutely hammered by AI-generated code and automated agents pushing commits.
It makes sense. If developers are suddenly 10 times faster because they're using large language models, they are pushing 10 times more code, opening more pull requests, triggering more GitHub actions. The traffic growth must be staggering. One user asked a really basic economics question. Why doesn't GitHub just rate limit non-paying users or raise prices to curb the load?
But as the community pointed out, it is not that simple. GitHub's entire moat is its network effect. It is the place for open source. If you start charging free users $1 a month per repository, they will jump ship immediately.
Someone brought up a study suggesting that network effects are logarithmic. So if a platform has 95% market share, it is not exponentially better, but it is still about 3 times better for having everyone there. That is a hard gravitational pull to escape. And the enterprise customers who actually pay the bills are there because the open source ecosystem is there. You cannot easily decouple them.
And the audience you want to keep is often the audience that will never pay. If GitHub throttles free users, they throttle the next generation of developers and the open source projects that the paying enterprise customers rely on. Plus, as one person noted, users are deeply entrenched in GitHub actions and issues. It is not just about hosting a Git repository anymore. It's your entire continuous integration pipeline.
True, though it is ironic that the very AI tools Microsoft and GitHub are pushing so hard might be the same tools overwhelming their infrastructure. The incident is resolved now, but it definitely sparked a larger conversation about the hidden costs of AI scale.
And if you want to talk about the hidden costs of AI, we have to talk about this Wiz research blog post. This is probably the most cyberpunk story of the week. An AI-generated GitHub Copilot autofix allowed a compromise of Snowflake's internal Jira.
This story is wild. So Wiz has this autonomous AI security tool called Red Agent. It was scanning Snowflake's public repositories and found a critical GitHub Actions workflow vulnerability, specifically a script injection flaw.
Here is how it happened. Just 5 days before Wiz found it, a pull request was merged into a Snowflake repository. The author of the commit? Copilot autofix, powered by AI. The AI was trying to clean up some tech debt, but in the process, it removed a safe data parsing pattern and replaced it with direct string interpolation.
Which is a classic security failure. It meant anyone could open a GitHub issue with a specially crafted title, and that title would be executed as a shell command by the GitHub Actions runner. The if condition that was supposed to protect the workflow was also flawed and basically let every user pass the gate.
And the Wiz Red Agent actually exploited it autonomously. It opened an issue, broke out of the string, and exfiltrated a Jira authentication token. It even hit a syntax error on its first try, analyzed the error, fixed its own exploit payload, and succeeded on the second try, all without human intervention.
It is literally AI attacking AI. The Copilot wrote the bug, and the Wiz agent exploited it. Snowflake patched it the same day it was reported, and they verified no bad actors actually used the exploit during the 5 days it was live. But the Hacker News comments were on fire about this.
Yeah, a lot of people pointed out that GitHub Actions is full of footguns. Writing shell scripts inside YAML files is inherently dangerous. One user mentioned a tool called Zizmore, which is a static analysis tool for GitHub Actions. The creator of Zizmore chimed in and confirmed their tool would have caught this exact injection flaw.
It really highlights a new problem. Pre-AI, a minor tech debt ticket like the one Copilot was trying to fix might have just sat in the backlog forever because it wasn't worth a human's time. Now you can tell an agent to fix it for free, but code is never free to review or maintain.
Exactly. If we are generating code 10 times faster, we are generating vulnerabilities 10 times faster. We need traditional static analysis tools more than ever to catch the hallucinations and bad patterns these models spit out.
Let us pivot away from AI for a minute and talk about data engineering. DuckDB just dropped a preview of their upcoming version 2.0, codenamed Cyanoptera, which is apparently a type of cinnamon teal duck.
I love their naming conventions. For those who might not know, DuckDB has traditionally been an in-process analytical database. Think of it like SQLite, but for analytics and massive datasets. But version 2.0 is bringing a huge shift. DuckDB as a server.
This is huge. People have been begging for a client server mode. They are introducing the Quack protocol, which lets any DuckDB process serve its databases over the network, and other DuckDB instances can attach to it using a new connect statement.
The comments on Hacker News show just how excited the community is. A lot of developers are currently using DuckDB to build multi-tenant data warehouses for mid-sized companies. They give each tenant their own separate DuckDB file. It provides great isolation, but dealing with concurrency and managing those files was getting tricky.
Right, because historically, you could not have a separate writer and reader process on the same file easily. But with the Quack protocol, those sharp edges around concurrency are relaxing. The CEO of DLT Hub even jumped into the comments to say people are sleeping on the data volumes DuckDB can handle. Fortune 100 companies are using it in production on hybrid cloud lakehouses.
Version 2.0 is also bringing asynchronous I/O, which is a game changer because it means the input-output layer scales independently from the query processing layer.
remote reads from network storage like Amazon S3 are going to see dramatic speed increases.
They are also adding triggers, before and after triggers, which people have been requesting for a long time. It is perfect for audit tables where something happens in the system and a trigger records what changed. Plus, they are adding nested schemas, new JSON mutation functions, and full support for the variant type, which is basically a super fast way to query unstructured JSON data. It is shaping up to be a massive release when it drops this fall.
Our final story today takes us out of the software world and into health economics. A new study from the Yale School of Public Health projects that universal health coverage in the U.S. could save $1 trillion and 114,000 lives every single year.
Those are some eye-popping numbers. The study claims the savings would come from lower pharmaceutical prices, reduced administrative overhead, fewer avoidable emergency room visits, and paying providers at Medicare rates instead of private insurance rates.
But the Hacker News crowd, as always, brought a heavy dose of skepticism to the methodology. The debate in the comments was fascinating and really dug into the hidden complexities of the U.S. healthcare system.
A major sticking point was that assumption about paying providers at Medicare rates. One commenter pointed out that Medicare pays about 50% less than private insurance. Meanwhile, most hospitals are operating on razor-thin margins, usually between -1% and 4%.
Exactly. If you suddenly slash their revenue to Medicare levels, hospitals would have to do massive layoffs or cut salaries for doctors and nurses. As one user put it, there is no free lunch.
People always look at their hospital bill and see a $37 charge for a single aspirin and think it is pure profit. But a lot of folks in the industry chimed in to explain that the $37 aspirin is subsidizing the parts of the hospital that lose money. It pays for the janitors, the orderlies, the receptionists, and the 85% of patients whose care costs the hospital more than they bring in.
Another user compared it to a restaurant. When you pay $11 for a glass of wine, you are not just paying for the liquid. You are paying for the building, the staff, the insurance. The margin on individual products does not make the entire operation profitable.
Some folks argued that the current system relies on obscurity and dark patterns to keep administrative jobs secure. It is a politically palatable Rube Goldberg machine for transferring costs to those who are well insured.
Another big debate was around primary care. The study assumes that with universal coverage, people will go to primary care doctors instead of the ER, which saves money. But we already have a massive primary care shortage in the U.S. because the reimbursement rates are too low. If you cut those rates even further, fewer medical students will choose family medicine.
It just shows how interconnected and fragile the whole system is. You cannot just pull one lever like administrative costs without affecting the entire machine. Whether you agree with the study or the skeptics, the thread is a really educational read on the economics of healthcare.
It really is. And that is a wrap for today's episode. From AI writing code nobody wants to read, to autonomous agents hacking each other, and the complexities of global healthcare, it was a heavy news day.
Definitely. Thanks to everyone for tuning in to episode 491. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a coworker. Maybe paste a transcript into your favorite language model and ask it for an AI didn't read summary.
Please do not do that. Read it yourself. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you tomorrow with more top stories from Hacker News.